I just want to start the message by you guys looking at that building. It's not safe. I know that over here, Stacy and Kevin want to buy it as an investment property. Well, you already did. You live in it today. All right, so that's a disaster waiting to happen. Psalm 62, verse 3. Has a similar idea. Could we put that up? Psalm 62:3. How long will all of you attack a man to better, like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? The next one, verse 4. All right, so that's a different. Okay. All right, so let's go to our message and Psalm 77, there's a couple parts, and we've enjoyed so much Michael Toll this past week, kicking off our Bible school. I really encourage people to go to Bible college, get training, learn to listen, learn to worship God by listening to the Word. Psalm 77, we will start at verse 1 in a minute, but I want you to just look at verse 6. I said, let me remember my song in the night, let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. That was a verse that came to me this morning when I got on my knees to pray for our time here this morning. My spirit made diligent search. And I wonder if that has happened to you, that you, in your heart, you have your spirit and you are like searching, looking for God. You are searching for truth. You are listening in prayer, waiting on God. Psalm 46:10, be still, know that I am God. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. What a great verse that is. There is a spirit in a man. That is the union of 1 Corinthians 6:17. God is the Father of spirits, Hebrews 12. And he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So we have the same material, we could say. The spirit, God is spirit, and so is man. He is the Father of spirits. And when your spirit makes search, when we are searching for God in prayer, in faith, we are relating to him in openness and nakedness. Hebrews 4, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not naked and opened unto him with whom we have to do. So you can't really hide. Like Halloween costumes are not allowed with God. You can use them, but they don't mean much. He sees beyond us, and he knows us. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:11. It's just for our orientation here. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? Have you ever felt you've been with somebody and there's kind of barriers there? But they're very pleasant, maybe very nice to be with, but still there's something not exactly in fellowship. Yeah. The Spirit. That's where you live. That's where your house has healthy bones. The house that God has built, that God wisdom has built her house, it says in Proverbs chapter 9. But the foolish woman tears it down with her hands. Proverbs 14 says that. But you are not those that have built your life on falsehood or false teaching or the rudiments of the world, the beggarly elements of life. The beggarly elements, that's the, you know how in the, we have an alphabet for our language, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay, those little letters are elements. And the elements of our language is the alphabet. The little pieces, the little letters, okay? There are in life little elements in life that people build their life on. They're called beggarly elements. Like elements that don't have in themselves, they don't have the content. They, in themselves, they don't have what's needed to build my life. It's like building a house on sand, Jesus said, Matthew 7, 24 to 26. You can't build your house on your emotion. You cannot build your house on human love. You cannot build your house on your dad's philosophy about life, or your tribe's philosophy, or your country's religion, or anything else that is derived from the heart of man. This is where we build. We build by the Spirit of God and what He says to us. What does the Spirit say? Jesus said, the man that builds his house, he hears what I say and he does what I say. He is like a man building his house on a rock. He hears what I say. So in Psalm 77, his heart, he's making diligent search. What is he looking for? The reality. He wants the reality of God. He wants the reality of God's words, the reality of God's mind. So let's go to another sub, you know, sidebar to what we want to say is Luke 8. And we will look at Luke 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. So we have actually four types here. We have number 1, 2, 3, 4. Now to break it down, make it simple, because that's not my message primarily. Psalm 77 is, but to go there, I want you to see something here. That the birds eat the seed. The man is not, the seed is the word. So the word is never really planted in the heart or the spirit of the man. That's a very real thing. When the word of God comes off the page into your spirit. That's a very real thing. When you're listening, you could hear a message today that 50 years from today you will remember it because the Spirit gave it to you. That's the way it works. That house will stand. Even when the whole world around me is crumbling, that world that God has given you through Christ, that world is God's world. That's reality. That's God's reality. That's the mind of God. That stands. His word is forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119:89. Now, yesterday we were handing out papers in Towson at a Weiss Market and Target shopping place. And it was terrible weather, like today. Terrible weather. I mean, and did I want to be out there? Not really, but I was having a good time with a group of us. And I found something interesting. I just asked somebody, I didn't know. I said, are you looking for a church? And the man said, yes, I am. And he stops and he looks. I give him the track. He looks at it. I don't know. It happened three times yesterday. Are you looking for a church? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm looking for one. What is your church? What kind of church is it? And I got to share about grace. I talked about you guys. I said, there's a great group of people, and I said, well, we're not perfect. No, I said, there's a great group of people. I talked about the message of grace, and I shared it with them. They just stood there. And one man was from Nigeria, very excited. Very excited about it. It was so nice. All right, now, if this seed is the seed of the Word of God, is it powerful to change somebody, to help them? Is it? When our spirit makes diligent search, and we're looking for God and reality, and He gives us His Word, and it's planted in us. So we have number two here in Luke 8. It says, verse 6, some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Now, this is something I want to introduce to you. You may not, because we've read this parable many times. Many times we think of these three as like kind of losing. They're all losers, right? And then there is the one that is on good soil. But I want you to think about this, that any day, any time of my life, I might be in one of these categories, any of the four. Because that happens to us. And there's no moisture there. There's no place for the Word to kind of get rooted and grounded. There's not enough soil there. Why isn't there enough soil? Because it's rocky. And that's the way my heart is. But 2 years ago, I was a Spirit-filled Christian and had a good heart. Yes, I had a good heart, and I was living with a good heart, and I was receiving from God. But now I've kind of changed in my attitude. I'm more rocky now. There's not much there. I don't think about God that much. I'm not going to church anymore. My faith is, I've got other issues. I've got other things in my life. My marriage is on the rocks. Okay. My job, I am in trouble. My health is not good. I'm getting older. I'm falling apart. And when I hear the Word, it doesn't hit me. It's not ministering to me. Go to the next one. It says, verse 7, and some fell among thorns. The thorns grew up with it and choked it. And so we could kind of go through the book of Acts and see how every one of these four different expressions of ministry happened in the book of Acts. It wasn't received by the Pharisees in Acts chapter 3. It fell, and some heard it, but some dismissed it in Acts 17. They said, we'll hear you again. There was a king, his name was Felix. No, it was Festus, who said to Paul, after he had talked to Paul for 2 years, he said, I'll hear you again, I'll call you. But it says he was looking for a bribe. That king, the governor, whatever his status title was, he was looking for a bribe from Paul. Paul wouldn't give it to him. He wasn't there for that reason. But that man, it looks like it never penetrated into his heart. He didn't receive it. But you and I, we have this good soil. Because where'd it come from? Where'd the good soil come from in your life? Where that good soil, why, because you're such a nice person? Did that work? Yeah, you got good soil. How'd you get good soil? By regeneration, by the new birth. You don't have good soil. You and I don't have good soil. Left to ourselves, Romans chapter 3, none is righteous, no, not one. We don't understand God. We don't seek after God. We don't pursue God. We don't have love for God. We are not caring about God. We are lost. But through the new birth, we have good soil. And by that good soil, we are searching for God. My heart made diligent search for God's reality. For the new birth has given to us a capacity for church. And that's what I saw in these three people. One of them said, actually, I am looking for a church. Actually, I am looking for a church. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Why? Well, what is it that we're looking for? We're looking for the reality of God that never collapses, though I do. God does not. I'm looking for the reality of the Holy Spirit to be my comforter when I am in trouble, like in Psalm 77. So let's go there now, please, to Psalm 77. Aren't you glad you came here today? Let's put up that crummy house again, and then we'll show another one. Look, just for the fun of it. Okay, there it is. Now, how long is it? The key in the Psalm and Isaiah about this is that you don't know when it's coming down. You don't know when it's going to give. You don't know what it will have. It'll just happen. One more picture of a destroyed house. Now turn to your neighbor and say, that does look like you. Yeah, that it happened. That does look like you. Okay. Now go to Psalm 77, please. Making just a few short points here. And I want to make a reference to John Bunyan. Many of you know he was the 17th century author of Pilgrim's Progress. He was also a Baptist preacher. He was also imprisoned for preaching when it wasn't lawful. He had to have a permit or a license to preach back in those different times. And he went through a period of more than 2 years when he felt very far from God. He was acutely aware of his own sin and discouraged by his inability to lead a righteous life. The words of Psalm 77 kept invading his mind. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again show me favor? But then one day, walking through a field and worrying, as always, let's repeat that, walking through a field and worrying, as always, I read that, right? Okay, here we are. Bunyan suddenly had a new thought. Your righteousness is in heaven. He realized that God didn't require any more righteousness from him because Jesus was his righteousness. Bunyan walked home rejoicing and living at peace with God through Christ. Psalm 77 puts into words the thoughts of many worried believers. But don't get stuck at that interlude after verse 9. Go on to review the great acts of God in history and in your life. He isn't finished with you yet. All right, so now let's read verse 1. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. Do you understand what he's saying? Like many of us, where is God? I don't feel it. I'm worrying. Yeah, I know he hasn't forsaken me. I know the finished work, but at the same time, if you were to ask me, am I spirit filled? I would say, I don't think so. I'm kind of upset, worried, and troubled in my heart. Where is he? When I remember him, I kind of faint. I know he is great and I love him very much, but somehow I am so restless and disturbed. In my heart, I'm worrying because I want more and I don't seem to get it. Verse 4, you hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. We'll read Job 29. I think I counted 52 things that Job said about his life when he was living on a spiritual high. It looks like Job lived a very spiritual life. He was like on a spiritual high, and he remembered, when I gave an answer and everybody's silent. I remember when I walked into a room, the children would just suddenly stand up and be respectful. I remember when I washed my footsteps with butter, and the tabernacle of God was upon my body. I remember all the, do you remember in your life times when you were, everything was so clear to you and the Spirit was filling you and your mind was renewed and you're right on fire for God? And then what happened? That's what this is about. I remember God. And I remember these things in my life. And so this is for us, because it will help us. Verse 6, I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. I was looking for not my experience, but I was looking for truth. I was looking for an anchor to hold my life, a hook to hang my clothes on, a hook to hang my life on, a hook to hang my thoughts on. Without a hook, what do I have? Without a solid foundation, what will my house be? Where will I end up? How will I make my decisions? Just on a fluke. Or like so many people, it's a gamble. Life is a gamble. It's not. Like, don't live like that. Don't just do something because you feel like it. Have a mind and a heart relating to God, and God will order the footsteps of an upright man in Psalm 34. Okay. Let's look at it. We'll finish here in a minute. Verse 7, will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Those are all very good questions, and we know the answer is no, no, no. But that's because I'm a preacher, and I'm telling you, no, no, no. And we have Bible verses for it too. And the Spirit is saying, no, no, no. But on the other hand, there are times when we do say these things, and we can get very low, like Bunyan said. And that's where we need counsel, God's counsel, God's Spirit, like seed sown. Sow the seed with each other, sow the seed in the world that you, sow the seed in your family. I'm amazed at sometimes how families can talk amongst themselves and in their house without the guidance and the direction that comes from love and grace and the Word of God. And I might be sowing seed in my children's hearts and in their lives that might open up a can of worms. And they don't need that seed. They need other. They need something from the Lord. That's why we bring them to church. That's why we care about each other and we encourage each other, because we know that God can speak to us. Look at verse 10. Then said I will appeal to this, to the ears of the right hand of the Most High. What does that mean? I will appeal to this. The years. Where do you read years? In the Gospels. I will appeal to the years of the right hand. Who's the right hand of the Most High? Jesus Christ. And where do you find his years? In the Bible. You find the years of the right hand of the Most High. You find the years, actually, all the way back to the book of Genesis. You see a Christophany. He's walking in the garden. The years when he was here in the Gospels, we appeal to those years. Verse 11, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yea, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work, meditate on your mighty deeds. I'll meditate on the Jews coming out of Egypt. I got to tell you, I got saved more than 50 years ago. And something happened, like in my, I didn't know the Bible, but all I could think about were the Jewish people in Egypt for some reason. And I didn't even know about it. I had never read the Bible before, but the Jews came out of Egypt. That just came back to me again and again. Why do you believe in God? The Jews came out of Egypt. And then later, through years of study, I find that it's a main theme in the Scripture. The Jews, what did God do? He brought them out. What did he do? He gave them manna every day. What did he do? He protected them from the enemy. Who is our God? Remember the years of the right hand. Meditate on his deeds and his works and his wonders. And realize that what God has done, he has not forsaken us. And he has no pleasure in the deaths of the wicked. In Ezekiel 33:11. He has no pleasure in us being destroyed. He has no pleasure in our house collapsing. He has no pleasure in the devil stealing the word and eating the seed. No pleasure in the seed being choked out in my life. No pleasure in it not getting rooted in my heart and in my spirit. He has no pleasure in that. He enjoys our good, our well-being, and our blessing. Okay, let's finish here. It says, your way, O God, verse 13, is holy. What God is so great like our God? Wow, that's a message right there. I mean, who is like our God? I don't find any. Isaiah 44. You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the people. You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob. What's he talking about? Not feelings, not the disaster in his family or country or economy, not the disaster in his, he's talking about history. He has a reference. He knows who God is in history. That's his reference. Then verse 16. When the waters saw you, O God, what waters? What waters? Jesse Waters? What waters saw God? The Red Sea waters. When they saw God, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea. Your path through the great waters. Let me say something about that. If you're a scuba diver and you go down in the water, you can't find footprints on the bottom. There's no path there. You can't find in the water. There are currents in the water, right? There are currents, but you can't find them. Maybe seamen know them. Mariners know them. People that they do the work on finding the way the sea works. But in principle, commonly taught and understood, I can't find the path. I can't find the way, but God's way is in the waters. And what does it mean? God's way is not your way. You might think you know, but you don't know. Do you know if you're going to die tomorrow or live another 20 years? Who knows? God knows. God has a path, but it's unknown to us. What should we do? Embrace Him. Build our life on what He says. Have a spiritual life of faith. Receive, make your spirit look, search diligently for God and walk with Him and trust Him. Trust Him with all your heart. Trust Him with your life. Trust, give Him everything. Trust Him with everything. Your girlfriend is too important to you. God is number one. Your girlfriend is number two. Maybe she should be number seven or 77. Your job is too important to you. Your children are too important to you. Your life is too important to you. Your career is too important to you. Why not have God be your God? And I have no other gods before me. And God take care of my life. And God lead us in and out. By the way, moms and dads, teach your children not only to clean their shoes, but teach them to fear God. Teach them not only to wash the dishes, but teach them to say their prayers at night and trust God and walk with God by faith. A child walks with God by faith. God's ways are not your ways. Oh, no. I don't care if you're a baby boomer. How many baby boomers do we have here? Okay, I don't care if you're a baby boomer or you're a millennial or a Z generation or whatever the culture. I don't know care if you're Chinese or Russian or American or what you are. Your way, you don't know the way. God has a way, and walk with Him, and your house will stand. No matter what happens, your house will stand. Unfortunately, some are in danger today as we're preaching this. Some are in danger. Their house will collapse and go, how did that happen? What happened? How did that happen? I can't believe that happened to me. God is not fair. I can't believe my life is this way and that way. And we're saying to all of us everywhere, we're all like that. But build today. The fear of God is the beginning of that wisdom, and it tends to, the fear of God tends to life, and you will abide satisfied, and you will be kept from evil. I believe it's Proverbs 19:23. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Great. Would you pray with me? There's a lot in this, Lord, for us to grab a hold of and meditate on and work in our hearts and follow and embrace, and how much you will take care of us. And The world we live in is tottering. It's fragile. And we thank you for Martin Luther King Day tomorrow, the inauguration tomorrow. Pray for the health of our nation and our families. And most importantly, no matter what life will deal to us, we will, by your grace, have a house that stands. We have invested in that, building the house, the house that God builds, by trusting in him. And then if you're not a believer, why don't you come today to Christ? If you're not a believer, why don't you say in your heart to Christ, with all your heart, say to him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Save me, forgive me. Fill me with your spirit, and that I would know you and walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.